Thank you, Chair. If I may, I'd like to make three points. The first one, to make a case in favor of deciding upon a definition, the need for a definition at this time. Secondly, to comment on the proposal that you made on the screen, Chair. And thirdly, where that proposal can be improved. Firstly, on the need for a definition. Chair, we've been doing these discussions for 10 years. There's been a certain advantage to having an open exploratory discussion about what the risks are, what the potential prohibitions could be, what types of technologies we're dealing with. But over 10 years now, we are seeing types of weapon systems that are using autonomy that we cannot concretely identify whether or not they are autonomous weapon systems. This means that a range of robo-tanks, sentry turrets, and loitering munitions are so far evading any of the types of discussions, regulations, or prohibitions that we are having over here. And so there is an urgent need to decide upon a definition in order to prohibit and regulate certain types of weapon systems, and also to allow those who are in the research, design, and manufacture of such systems to know whether or not their systems fall within the category. So we are at the stage where we cannot afford greater time to ruminate. My submission is that we do need to decide upon a definition. Chair, the definition that you offered on the screen was, in my view, a very proper culmination of states' positions on this. And I think even you footnoted where you found the words from that definition from various state papers. And as the ICRC identified, it is very similar to the one that they have identified, and it has got a number of good advantages to it. So we're looking at systems that, upon activation, select and engage targets with force without further human intervention. In my view, the great benefit of this definition is that it allows us to assess the technology at a certain vantage point, i.e. the point of activation. And so we can say whether or not that operator or the person or the chain of command relating to the activation of that system is able to use that system with a sufficient amount of predictability, understandability, explainability, because we will know when the system is activated, what the context is going to be when the system is going to be used, and the operator ought to be able to exercise those criteria to know whether or not to use the system. So we have that benefit. There's a specific vantage point from which we're making the assessment. We can also then, using that, apply certain prohibitions and regulations at the design and manufacturing stage. So a designer of such a weapon system would need to make sure that their system is predictable, is explainable, is understandable, such that when the operator is activating their system, they feel confident about the effects of the attack. So there is a lot of benefit to this way of doing things. The alternative way that has been discussed throughout the GGE is to talk about behaviors. And that has a lot of merit too. We could say that there is an obligation upon a user to predict, to understand, etc. These are regulating and prohibiting types of behaviors. The disadvantage of that is that what are we then prohibiting in terms of the technology? So we do need to concretely identify a vantage point from which we are going to make the assessment about the technology to see whether it is compatible with IHL, predictability, understandability, etc. But there is a fatal flaw, which I set out on Monday during my opening statement, with the definition that is being proposed, which is that if we were to look at the actual systems that are in development, virtually all of them have some form of input that takes place after the system's activation. Now, if we were to go with the word intervention, then potentially any such input, no matter how meager or nominal, would take that system completely outside of the framework that we are discussing here. It's a loophole. It's a way to subvert the framework. And indeed, we are seeing weapons manufacturers explicitly state that there is some form of input after activation such that it is not an autonomous weapon system, even though it raises the same concerns that we have been discussing here for 10 years, such as concerns around accountability, responsibility, distinction, ethical considerations. So we should not allow some loophole to subvert the framework that we're using. And there is a solution to this. There are many potential solutions to this. One potential solution is to exchange the word intervention with agency. An agency here would mean the undertaking of moral and legal responsibility. But what I'm suggesting is that this particular loophole needs to be addressed, because we shouldn't be doing our work in a vacuum, but to look at the actual systems that are of concern and see how we can address those concerns. So we'll be doing a workshop today in Building H between 1:30 to 2:30, hopefully an intellectual kind of exercise to engage with this, and invite states to join with that. Thank you, Chair.
I would like to thank the distinguished representative of the Civilian Agenda for his views and also for drawing our attention to the site event today. On my list, I still have the distinguished representative of Japan. Sir, you have the floor.